going to use that gift of discernment, you're going to have to recognize and recognize the difference in good and evil, bad and good, and all those things that's in the Bible. You're going to have to learn how to discern those things. You know, things are not the same. Everything is not the same. There are differences in good and evil, you know? And we're going to have to learn those things and begin to live by them, recognize them, so we can live and pattern our life after. It's like a bell. It sounds different than a horn, a horn on a car. When you ring a bell, it's a very distinct and different sound than when you hear the honking of a horn. We need to be able to distinguish or tell the difference between Satan and God, good and evil, holy and unholy, good and bad. That's what I'm talking about. We're going to have to know the difference, the distinct difference between these things. In Hebrews, we're going to go to some more scriptures. In Hebrews 5 and 14, it says, "But strong meat belongs to them that are full age, even those by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." What do you mean by having your senses exercised? That's discernment. You have to discern between good and evil. And guess what? Exercise means exercise. You remember I said Paul told Timothy to stir up the gift? You're going to have to stir up the gift. You're going to have to use those gifts if they're going to operate through you. You're going to have to stir them up. You're going to have to use them. That's exercise. And you can exercise, and so you can be able to discern both good and evil.
This is what we like to call you, Jesus, Jesus. That's what we call you, yeah. You were born in a manger, but on a tree,
we died to save man. The tree.
This is KAYT. Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel. This is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised Word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
Proverbs 23 and verse 25, if you don't mind. Proverbs 23, 24, and 25, but 25 is where we're going to launch from. So if you don't mind standing and turning there, if you don't mind. All right. It's one verse. May we read that together, beginning now. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. On this Mother's Day, I want to talk about making mother happy. Making mother happy. Some of us are blessed to have had wonderful mothers who now rest in the presence of the Lord and have had the experience of making those mothers happy. And even while they sit in heaven and watch down here now, believe you me, they're still made happy when they see their children in the worship and praise of God our Father. And so it's important to recognize that this word today especially is designed to help us recognize what God has vested in mothers. Verse 23 and 24, the Father is highlighted and spotlighted. And only at the end of this verse 25b section do we really spotlight the mother. But verse 23 talks about buying and not selling wisdom and instruction and understanding, because those things are so necessary for sons and daughters to become wise and righteous in the sight of God, for those to be the kind of individuals who grow up that bring God joy and their parents joy. Verse 24 talks about the righteous. And one of the things that I think is important to recognize in this word righteous is the fact that it's talking about both character and conduct. See, when you're righteous, you are righteous underneath the skin and above the skin. You're righteous in the dark and in the light. And so it's important to recognize that all of this comes from having wisdom and instruction and understanding about what your role and your responsibility is. And fathers here take the role because they have the right, the role, and the responsibility of heading up the family and making sure all things are in order. In biblical days, men, whether they were saved or unsaved, were the heads of their household. Their wives followed their instructions, and the children followed their instructions, and the father had a word. The father was the protector, the provider, the promise keeper. When the father said something, that was as good as law. His word was everything. And mothers had the power and the ability to scare the life out of children when they wouldn't act right and say, "You wait till your father gets home. I'm going to tell him what you've done." And they would straighten up. "Don't tell daddy, mama. Don't tell daddy." And so, you know, but through the years, that responsibility has not shifted in God's sight. But the role has become more that of the women, primarily because the men are not there. And so it's important to recognize that a father receives joy when his son is righteous, when he walks in wisdom, when he fulfills instructions, and he has understanding. It's excuse me. It's important to understand that his character and his conduct must be equal. Equal. See, people can tell who you really are, especially when you don't know that they know who you are. When they see you and you don't see them. When they hear you speak in terms that are either good or that are not good, they see the real character of you. They see when you're done wrong, how your character comes out. What role do you play? How do you handle yourself? They see how you deal in business. They see how you are in relationships. And so character is so important. And listen, the father receives joy when all of those things are instilled in his children, and he gets a word about how well-mannered they are, how well-behaved they are, how well they do, how successful they are, because he knows that all of that began with the wisdom, instruction, and understanding of truth that's been imparted into them. Now, when we get to verse 25, it says, thy father and thy mother shall be glad. The end of verse 24 talks about joy. Verse 25 talks about glad. And at the end of verse 25, it talks about rejoice. Now, all of these words are in connection and conjunction with what the parents see in their children harvested in their lives. They sowed those seeds, and later as those children grew up and became young men and young women, took on life and responsibility, they saw that the seeds that they had sown in their lives produced a great harvest. I've got news for you, brothers and sisters. Make no mistake about it. When the Bible says, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he grows older, he will not depart from that training. What you've got to realize is God is no shorter than his word. It doesn't mean your children are going to be perfect all the time, but if you give them the ABCs of understanding, and if you show them the right way and put the right example before them and give them the understanding that you are watching them, but above you, God is watching them, then they will come to the understanding that it is expected of them to be the best that they can be when folk are looking or when nobody's around. They are who they are in the night and in the day. And so the father receives joy out of knowing that all of that investment, all of that sowing, all of that seeding has yielded a wonderful crop that grows up and looks like and mimics and imitates him. And so now the Bible says, thy father and thy mother shall be glad. Now they bring mother into this role because mother plays a very pivotal and instrumental role in rearing the children. The father gave the instructions, but the mother enforced them. She went and she instilled them. She went and she reapplied them. It was the mother who continued to show the children the way to take that word and to continue to bring it back up and place it in their hearing, bring it back up, place it in before their eyes in terms of examples, bring it back up and give it to them so that they could be shown back to her. So it was the mother in the home who had the greatest hands-on training of the children. I was doing some reading and it was interesting because of all of the famous men and women I read about, all of them had a special, special recognition for their mothers because their mothers had instilled so much in them that though they had honor and reverence for their father, they had a certain love and respect for that mother because of what she gave and she shared and she showed them daily, in and out and through the day. And so together, husband and wife shall be glad. Glad. Now, what is it really talking about? It's talking about righteousness and it's talking about wisdom. Wisdom, intellectually, is talking about intuitively, and wisdom instructionally. In these three areas, the wisdom in its fullest term gives that child everything he or she needs to know to be able to go out into the world and be successful. And it comes from Father, and it comes from Mother. And together, they are glad, they are proud, they are happy in that they see what they have produced. But again, the wisest man that ever lived, save Jesus, Solomon, writes at the end, and she that bare thee shall rejoice. Rejoice. Now, what does this mean? We've had joy with the father, gladness for both of them, but only the mother, he speaks here as rejoicing. There's a reason for that, because when the mother rejoices, it's because of all beyond that the father even knows she has sown into that child, that gives her an advantage in terms of influence. And so that's one of the reasons why, you know, when boys make it, you know, and especially, you know, playing sports or whatever, camera gets on them, first thing they say, "Hi, Mom! I want to give out shouts to my mom." You know, oh yeah, and my dad too, but Mom! You know, they because Mother has been, she's been the one to go to, you know, rehearsals, to practices. She's been the one to make sure that they did the homework, that they did this, that they did that, that they did all of the things. She was the one that was always in their ear and always before their eyes. And so she is the one who then knows now to be able to have, listen, rejoice, listen to this, is a elevated celebration. It's elevated above gladness, and it's even elevated above joy. Because joy is one time. It is the phrase, "I have joy that God has blessed me with these wonderful children, and they are wonderful adults now because of what we've invested in them." But now, we are glad now that what we've invested in them is showing up in every area of their lives. But now the mother, because she bare that child, has a special connection with that child. She spent 9 months with that child daddy didn't spend with him. She felt some things for that child daddy didn't feel from that child. She went through some stuff with that child. Daddy was sleeping, and she was the one who couldn't get a wink at night. It was mother who nursed that child, ministered to that child, looked after that child when that child was sick, was there for that child when that child had issues, tenderly, compassionately hearing and giving answer to that. It was the mother who was there. And so she rejoices in a elevated way, because her joy is not just one time. It's rejoice, rejoy, rejoy. It's joy, rewind. Joy, rewind. Joy. Every time she hears something good, joy, rewind. Every time they get promoted, joy, rewind. Every time they do something that others brag about, joy, rewind. She has a certain rejoicing that comes with and is subject to all that she has invested in that child. And that's one of the reasons, my brothers and sisters, that we should love mother with everything in us. Maybe your mother may not be perfect. I've got news for you. Neither are you. Maybe your mother may not have all of the education, all of the intellect, may not have, you know, all of the things that you might be proud of as a child in terms of some other mothers. But God gave you your mother. And your mother gave you life that no other mother did. And what you must recognize is you should take every available opportunity to show the mother that brought you into this world with every opportunity you have, the best that you have. Give her the best that you have. Shower her with love and affection. Give to her those words of encouragement. Make sure that her latter days are her best days, that you're able to sow back into her life and make her as comfortable and as joyous as you possibly can because of what she's given you. There's so many children who disrespect their mothers, talk back to their mothers, curse their mothers, but God's got something to say about that. You will reap a horrible death not appreciating and loving the gift of motherhood that God gave to you. And my brothers and sisters, maybe your mother's gone on to glory right now, and this is past tense for you, but the memory of what mother has done will last as long as you last because of what she's invested in you. And so I encourage young people to be the blessing that you can be, especially when you have siblings. Don't wait to see what the other sibling is going to do to bless your mama. Because if mama have one child, if mother has 10 children, 20 children, she loves all 20 of those children and gives all 20 of those children the best that she has. And if you are one of them, then you need to give her the best that you have. Collectively, it's fine, but you have an individual responsibility to do your best. When you love mother like that, you love God. You show God you are appreciative. Mother should never be an inconvenience. I don't care what you're doing. When mother calls, you ought to say, hold up 1 minute. It's my mother on the phone. You ought to take out time. Give mama priority, because when you were sick and you cried and you needed something, mama dropped everything she was doing to see about you. So you ought to do the same. Mother ought not need nothing and you got it. Mother ought not have to ask you for anything. You ought to make mama happy. Make her happy. Some of you got issues when you got mates who won't let you be good to your mama or to your daddy. You've got some issues. You've got some issues. Because I got news for you. Mama gonna be there when nobody else will be there. I don't care how much you think they love me. Mama can take one good look at him and say, baby, he ain't all that. You're like, oh, but mama, you don't know him. Yeah, but I know his kind. It might not be revealed this week, next month, couple, 3 years, but a little ways down the road. Mama ain't even got to tell you I told you so. Mama just let you know, baby, when things don't go right, you can always come back home to that mother's love, true love, pure love. And when mother gets to the point where her days have come down to the end. Your job is to make her days as blessed and happy as you possibly can. I know I shouldn't have to be saying this and teaching this to you, but I'm not really telling you, because you know I'm talking about the person that don't know this, who might be sitting next to you. Because what you don't realize is that when mother is gone, there's none other who can replace her and be to you like mother is. And so sometimes, mother in those stages, especially these last stages, gets to be a bit much. But it's your job and your responsibility to be there for. And there are just some mothers who make it clear, I don't want to go to no nursing home. I don't want to leave my house, or I don't want to leave my loved ones. And it is up to you to try and make it happen as best you can, unless you cannot provide for mother what she truly needs. Because there are times when we are incapable, when there's too much for us to handle, to be able to do and give the best quality of life to, then we have to make the best decision to take care of mother. But it don't mean you drop her in a nursing home and forget about her. I know some folks in here right now, their mothers are in the nursing home, and they were there just about every day God gave them till mother called their mothers home. There, checking on the staff, making sure, dropping in sometime 2-3 times a day, checking to see whether or not mother has been changed, if she's clean, if she smells right, if she looks right, if she's being cared for. And then the staff begins to realize that even though she's here, somebody loves their mother. Somebody cares for their loved one. And God honors that, because you made the decision to give her your best. I want to close with this little story. Shirley Caesar told many years ago. She said, how oftentimes children grow up seemingly overnight, and, you know, some go to college, some get jobs, and others move off. And many times they forget that they've left a darling mother back home. And she tells the story about this young man who had grown up and moved to Germany. And while in Germany, he became critically wounded. And the doctors thought that he'd never walk again. He had braces on his legs, and it was a sad thing that happened to the young man, but that wasn't the only sad thing that happened to him. While he was in Germany, his mother died. His family did all they could to get in touch with him, to no avail. And there we see the young man standing at the graveside, the fresh grave, with one single faded rose in his hand, tears streaming down his eye. There, with his legs in braces, standing up, face full of tears, he began to pull the petals from the rose and drop it on that grave. He began to speak to his mother, and he said, this faded rose is all I have to give. Mother, I tried to give you flowers, every now and then.